You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Live from Flannel Beaver Studios, it's the Roman Pod and Cast Quarantine Edition
Midnight Special.
I'm your host, Roman LeBeau.
And I'm the glasses-free Rob Cast. Yes, my glasses, I left them in my van, I think.
So when you don't have your glasses, yes. What does the world look like to you?
Slightly blurry. I'm a 47-year-old man who needs glasses. If the MTO in Ontario are listening, I technically don't need them to drive yet, so I can still, my license doesn't say I need them. But the last time they heard from me, well, I was 30 years ago when I filled out that form originally.
It's like now I wake up there and I'm like, why is everything blurry? I had super 20/20 Eagle vision. Now I'm like, I can't even read what's on the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it takes a while for my eyes to focus. I'm like, Jesus, is that what people with glasses see all the time? That's fucking scary.
I can't even see my morning erection. Oh, wait. There isn't one anymore.
I saw a girl on TikTok do a pretty good experiment. She took her glasses off.
Right.
Put it in front of the camera lens. Let the camera refocus. Right? Through her glasses.
Okay.
And then she yanked the glasses off and then everything was blurry. And she's like, this is exactly how I see the world when I take my glasses off. And it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
We'll readjust to the lens. And then when you yank the lens out, now it's exactly how her eye sees everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn, that's a pretty good way of showing everybody what you see.
Or I remember you used to do this all the time. We used to joke about this when somebody was wearing glasses and they'd be like, hey, can I see your glasses? And they put them on. I'm like, hey, look how fucking stupid I look. Oh, here's your glasses back.
Yeah. Don't I look stupid? And they're like, no, I look stupid glasses, right? What? No, I mean, you guess like, no, I look real stupid. Here you go. Here are your glasses back.
Yeah. It's like, thanks.
Thanks. And that person feels like shit. They're like, so I look fucking stupid. Oh no, they look good on you, but I mean, I look really stupid, right?
Yeah. I look really stupid. Yeah. Yeah. I look really nerdy, right?
You know? I remember I had friends with super bad vision, like bottom of the Coke bottles.
Yeah.
You know, and I would put those things on and I swear within a split second my eyes would cross. It was so, they were so strong.
Yeah. Well, I've seen bad vision. I remember years ago, I knew a young lady, ex-girlfriend, I think it was. She went and got these frames. So she had contacts in and she was picking out new frames and she's like, Oh, these ones are great. Okay, yeah, great. So she ordered them. And when she got them back, I didn't realize how strong her prescription was because this was like late 90s. They didn't quite fit. The thickness was at least like it were half a centimeter, quarter inch, let's say, for American friends. So, and now they're in these dainty 90s frames, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, they looked great in the glass in the glasses shop, but yeah, now that you actually have a prescription in them, no,
you need a little less Mrs. Tedenko, and you need a little bit more fucking Buddy Holly.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Right? You need a mold around these fucking lenses so they don't fall out.
Yeah, exactly. So, a few things. Right off the top. One thing, a good friend of yours and mine, an old bandmate of mine, Jody Clark, unfortunately, he lost his mother this week. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, we're all at that age, like in our age group, that this is happening. And she was, his mother was amazing. And you know, it's like, it's just one of those things. They had a really, really special relationship. I mean, it was just nice to see, and even she doted after him, till she passed, and it's heartbreaking. But you know, again, we're not a thoughts and prayers show, you mean, but we are thinking of our friend. And, you know, he's the biggest Eddie Van Halen fan I know. So this is just 2020 can fuck off. Okay. For like, it's just horrible. But, Jody, yeah, our condolences go out to you and we are here. I'm actually in the same city. You know, I know COVID has us restricted a lot, but you know, we just reach out to Roman and I, because it can be rough. You know, a lot of us have been through it. So, exactly. So just sad. That's sad personal news in our close group of friends. And of course, celebrities this week. Charlie Pride today. So it's Saturday the 12th, and we just heard that Charlie Pride, country music legend, has passed away. And early this week, I messaged you just, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
With Tommy Lister, yeah. Famously played Zeus. That was his big debut, I think, in that Hulk Hogan movie, No Holds Barred, I believe.
No Holds Barred. Hogan played Rip.
Yes.
And that was, you know, the surfer thing and the... he played this ungodly monster. And then he also, if you've seen The Fifth Element, he played the president.
President of the world.
Of the world. And he played Debo in... was it one of Spike Lee's movies?
Shoot.
Or the Friday movies. The Friday movies.
Oh, yeah. Was it Friday Night Lights or was it?
No. Friday and Friday After Next.
Right. Okay. My apologies.
Yeah. So he played a character named Debo, which affected another group of my friends who were like, that's where I know him from. I know him from, you know, being Zeus. And then I knew him from, you know, like Luc Besson's Fifth Element.
Yep. Yep.
One of those great, amazing movies, great director. And then to cast him, see, everybody saw him as this big monster at the beginning because that's what he played into just to kind of get his roles.
Yeah.
But then he had a chance to expand on his roles. You know what I mean? And then it was nice because he played a lot of counter character stuff where he would play like a big wimp or start crying all the time. And it was really funny and he was really good. So I don't know the circumstances. I know that they were called to his apartment and he was not responsive. I don't know what happened. But typically, big guys like that, really tall guys, even thick. Like he's obviously he was a big dude, bodybuilder and all that. They typically don't last past their 60s.
No,
the body takes a toll on getting that big. So it's not a lot of people. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is one of the few exceptions, but he's very lean.
Yes,
you know what I mean. But there are other guys who are really big. He was, he put himself through a lot of stuff. So, like I said, I don't know what circumstances were.
No. Nope.
I don't want to speculate.
No. Nope.
All I know is that he was a good guy. He was a great actor. A friend of mine, Robert Mayette, who we know from the Sherlock Holmes movies, he played Dredger.
Yeah, yeah.
The giant guy where he throws the hammer at him.
I think I seen him in London and face to face. Wow. He's massive.
We were on set on Polar and we got to have a conversation together, and I've been a fan of his for a long time. We met at some of the Comic Cons through a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. But it's nice and to say that I'm able to talk to him now. And him and there's pictures of him and Tommy, shaking hands, and they were friends. And so, you know, you get worried for your friends as they get older when they're that big. Because I got a lot of friends who are massive. I don't want to say monsters, but they're very big dudes.
Yeah.
And so as we start getting older, you start getting worried going like, well, I got my own issues. I'm sure they're worried about me for my issues.
Well, we all have our own personal things. And that's like, I was a gym rat for years and years and years. You know what I mean? I've recently had to transition into a more mid-40s yoga-y, try to stay healthy lifestyle. So getting used to not having the pump anymore and then getting used to not having.
Yeah. Cause I mean, your nipples must be chased.
Oh boy. Yeah. Boy. Howdy. Yeah. So, and also getting used to not having, you know, I mean the size, like you carry yourself around for 20 years as, I mean, in just as a very fit person. And yeah, you can, I'm still fit, except now I'm a thinner fit. Like it's hard. It's a really, it's almost like a reverse anorexia where it's like, if you're a gym rat and let's say if you're bordering, let's just for argument's sake, if you're 199 mm-hmm. on your weight, and then you're 201, fuck, you feel huge. But if you have catch a flu and you slip to 198, that just crossing over that century mark just kills you, because you work so hard for every pound of muscle, right? So, but knowing that, knowing the sports I played, being literally a tackling dummy for football teams, knowing I have a very, very physical job, I know everything I'm doing now, I'm doing, I just did just about to finish massive renovation on the house. This is the last episode from the temporary Flannel Beaver Studios. It'll be moved into the new and improved Flannel Beaver Studios as of in our next live stream. So that's exciting. But everything I'm doing with this house is knowing I'm going to be a crippled bag of crap in 20 years if I get there. Like, I just know what my body's been through. And yeah, I can still, I'm very nimble. I can move around. I keep myself nice and light. I try to do my best. I try to be as responsible as possible. But I just know, like, I could have hid my furnace in a crawl space and made a lot more cosmetically, I said, you know, better. And I said, no, I'm going to take a bit more square footage, and I'm going to make an actual mechanical room. So when I'm 65, I can hobble my crippled ass in there and change the furnace filter without having to crawl around anywhere. I made sure to do my exit doors are 36 inches wide. Why? Because you can get a stretcher through those fuckers. And again, I'm not being pessimistic or grim about the future. I am just a realist. When you live a certain way and you have a certain job, I know it's coming. And I already feel like I can tell right now there's a snowstorm here in Sudbury. I knew this was coming 3 weeks ago because my knees started just throbbing. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. So again, it's nothing like these professional athletes, obviously. It's nothing like, but we all have our physical crosses we were bearing or are going to bear. But
I was going to say, my dad was a house builder for years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's since 1979, I think it was, that he's been building houses, and obviously retired now and in, you know, not doing so well. And his brother does what you do. He's been doing it his whole life, and now his two kids are doing it.
Yeah.
Now you take way better care of yourself than my uncle did.
I take way better care of myself than most people in my trade. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, but I can see what he's been through and what shape he's in. So, yeah, I know if you didn't take care of yourself, I could easily see what shape you'd be in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just one of those. You have to treat yourself like, I don't know, maybe I'm just the preparation guy, right? So I know I'm not an idiot. I know this wear and tear is going to take its toll. And it'd be like, I can't expect to, like, you know, they had that commercial, Freedom 55, you get to retire if you do it all. No, I got no choice, because there's going to be, yes, I will be doing side jobs for the rest of my life, because it's just easy money. But I know being productive at what I do, there's a time limit to it. You know, it's just one of those things. So, anyway, not to be all doom and gloom, but the just a little reality of what's going on. Again, massive losses this week, and our condolences to everybody and all the families.
Charlie Pride passing away was when he started. You know, other country music artists would hear him, and the record labels would be like, "Hey, we want you to do a duet with Charlie Pride." And they're like, "Hey, yeah, I heard this guy; he's fantastic." And they would meet him, and they'd be like, "I had no idea he was a black man." Singing country music like that. And he said, I think I saw in his documentary, that it was one of the few things where when he met people in the industry, almost all were very welcoming.
Yep.
You know, he had his ups and downs for certain places, but he says, but the people he worked with always treated him with respect. You had to respect the guy. He was so talented, and he rose above everybody else. And, you know, like you said, whether you're in a certain position or whether you're a minority or whatever, it says, make yourself so undeniable that people cannot stop you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, if you push yourself and you become that good, it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. You can, you know, like, I saw a guy on TikTok. He was upset because his teacher told his son, who's Hispanic, that in his lifetime, he will not make as much money as a white person will.
Okay.
Not saying that the white people are better, but due to systematic blah, 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 mm-hmm. you'll do your best. But in the end, you won't do as well as some white guys out there. And he was pissed.
Right.
A white guy. He was like, you don't ever tell my son what he can and can't do.
No.
You know, the world is changing. And if you work hard, you can get what you work for.
Yeah. And hopefully especially our kids will see the change. I can't imagine what my kids are going to see in their lifetimes. Like it just, and it's hopefully I know we hear a lot of the loudest voices on the right and the left are the most fucking annoying. But yeah. I know there's a lot of us in the middle, center right, center left, whatever, like just whatever you whatever you want, if you even position yourself politically, whatever it is, there's a lot of us that just care and are trying to get above that. I had an interesting conversation with group people, and we're talking about healthcare, right? We're talking about Canadian healthcare, and we're talking about the UK system, where I think, again, I'll have to confirm with our UK correspondent.
The NHS.
Yeah, with the partial pay, right? If you want premium service, you can pay for that, but everybody gets covered, right? Basically. I'm simplifying it, but here we have basic coverage, and this person I was talking to said, oh yeah, we should get that. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, yeah, that's a great idea. I said, if we all leave the starting blocks on the same footing. Now, if this person was able to go to university, you mean, and his parents paid for it, and he's lucky enough to do so, and his parents worked for it, that's great. But what about the person in a single parent household, and one of the parents working their ass off, and yeah, they have to get student loans to get through university, and they're both at the same job, let's say, but one guy's 100 grand in debt. Now, is it, you mean the footing is off? So yeah, you can be both doctors or both engineers or both teachers, but if one of them is 100 grand in the hole, and all of a sudden this person who had this opportunity to get this free education because of their parents, circumstances, you mean, whether it be demographics or race or whatever reason, now this other person's, of course, like, so if I didn't have to pay for my school, if I didn't have to pay for my schooling, and now I'm like, I'm ahead of the next guy by 100K, well, fuck yeah. I mean, well, sure, I'll take that premium service. So I'll get the premium fucking physicals and no wait line. This and that, you mean, it just, it's a good idea on the surface, but
it's a two-tier healthcare system, meaning that everybody gets covered.
Yeah.
But if you pay a little bit more, you get a little bit better service. Well, the problem is that when you do that, doctor who would be designated to those people who can't afford to pay more, where he would be normally forced, then that's not the term I want to use, but let's say he'd be designated to work on those patients, would now be like, well, why the fuck wouldn't I go up the chain and work and get paid more?
Yeah, we're private, yeah.
You know, and then now you lose that doctor. That's why two-tier healthcare, they don't want it here for the most part. I know the conservatives want it here, but we do have a type of two-tier healthcare, which is you can get private insurance on top of your regular coverage.
Well, like there's little stuff. Yeah, there's little stuff like if you're in a hotel room, and you want a private room, yeah, you can pay for that. You know, and like, and again, but you're not getting. But when the doctor's doing his rounds, that same doctor that's going into your private room because you want to pay for it or your company's paying for it is seeing the people who have to share a room next door. It's not
It's the same doctor.
Exactly.
It's strictly for my dad had that for a long time. We had like a coverage through his business, and I ended up in the hospital. My mom pitched a fit and she's like, we pay for a private room.
Right. Right.
He's right now sharing a room with four people, you know, and it's we pay for a private room, get him in a private room. My quality of care didn't change.
Right.
But my privacy did. I got to at least, you know, like have a little bit of more dignity there. You're just kind of like, you know, you don't want to show your butt to everybody when you're having like a spinal surgery.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. But the thing is, I think I had a hospital stay. I believe I had a roommate. I don't know. I don't remember. I was a little out of it. So, but anyway, there's the two tier system. I don't know how we get on this. Like, we're just going in all sorts of doom and gloom directions.
You were saying you're having a conversation with friends and they were talking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're talking about the healthcare system. But anyway, and again, yeah. There's arguments for both sides. But again, the problem is you're going to end up with a massive, the divide starts to split and the chasm only gets worse, right? You mean, like you said, the division of class of doctors or nurses,
yeah,
division, it becomes so, yeah, we're very, very, very fortunate here in Canada. Okay, moving on. Mm-hmm. Did you hear Texas wants to secede from the United States of America?
They don't want to succeed, but they do want to secede.
Succeed, yeah. They want to succeed. Everybody wants to succeed.
They put their lawsuit out there, basically saying that, hey, state of Texas is going to the Supreme Court saying all the results from all these different states, we want them thrown out.
Yeah, the states that happen to be won by one party.
See, there are no technically, you know, we have a federal election here in Canada.
Yes, we do.
We go to the poll, we vote for federal parties, and then whoever the leader is ends up by being the prime minister. That's how it works.
Yeah.
In the states, there are no federal elections. There are no federal ballots. All elections are state elections.
Yep, state run, yeah.
Right? And then you also vote for the president separately, right? Yeah. And obviously that's the federal government, but there are no, you're not electing anybody to federal office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no, basically for our American friends, it'd be like if you had Democrats and Republicans and you and everybody voted for your congressman.
Right.
Whoever was, you have a leader of the all the Democrats would pick a leader to be, and they'd be a congressman, a sitting congressman, and then all the Republicans would pick their leader. So basically, whoever would get, our parliament works like whoever has more seats, Republican or Democrat, that party is the party that runs the country, and whoever happens to be their leader would become your de facto president.
Yeah,
so basically that's how it works in Canada.
You vote for Justin Trudeau, you actually vote for your
member of parliament.
Federal member of parliament, and if enough of them win by, yeah, you know, we have the popular vote and we have like our own version of, you know, like the electoral college, whatever you want to call it. If enough votes win, then that party now becomes in charge of the country and the leader that they've selected.
Yeah, basically, yeah, our parliament. So if the Liberals who have a minority right now, because they don't have enough, they have more seats in the House of Commons than anybody else, but they don't have enough. They don't have more than everybody else combined.
Right.
Yes. But anyway, so it's not the state. It's not like Texas is going, well, fuck you guys. It's the attorney general. The
Constitution states.
Yes.
That elections are state based.
Yeah.
Right. And in some states it's county based.
Yeah.
So Texas has no standing, which means they have no legal right,
right,
to go to the Supreme Court and go, I want you to throw out those votes for those other states. You're not the federal government. You're not telling, you know, you're just another state and your voting is based off your own state. It's like saying, hey, you know what? In my house, we decided that my wife is going to be in charge of the finances.
Yeah.
But I don't like the fact that my neighbor's wife is in charge of his finances.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to the regional council and go, hey, I want you to put the husband in charge of their finances. And the regional council goes, dude, it's not your house. It's not your business.
Exactly. Fuck off. It'd be like Canada suing Texas, saying we don't like your governor. We want you to throw out the results of your last.
Yeah, and it just so happens that instead of being a separate country, it happens to be the same states in the same country.
Exactly. You
but
got it.
Yeah, it's literally that separate. So there was it was 7-2. The dissent wasn't, hey, we're on your side for this. What it was we believe you have the right to file.
Yes.
But the other seven were like, you don't even have a right to file here, right?
Yeah.
You're a state trying to tell another state what to do. No. Two of them said, okay, you know what? We think you should have the right to file, right? But we would not vote in your favor.
No,
this exactly. Is like, we're telling you, I would accept it as a file. I would look at it and go, nope.
Yeah, exactly. The other
seven are like, we don't even want to look at it because this is not even a thing that should happen.
Exactly.
So the problem is now is that those who kind of believe that they're like, well, there's two of them that agree with us. And like, no, that's not what they said. They said they all don't agree with you. But two said that in the future, if you ever file something like this, I'd be willing to hear it.
Whereas look at it. Yeah, and then no, not even hear it in front of them. They'll read the memo.
Read it, not hear it. Yeah.
Exactly. So
there's a lot of argument right now going. So now what's happening is that you have a hierarchy or a fractioning on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have those who are like, okay, look, all this stuff, this is not legal, right? It's starting to get out of hand. We were with you up until you started pulling this shit. And then one senator or whatever from Texas said, well, maybe we should secede.
Yeah, no, they're attorney general. Yeah, like it. Yeah, like it just, yeah, okay, it's not even, shit. It's not, they make it sound like all of Texas is like mad. It's like, no.
No, I know. But what happens is now, but within that, because I got a lot of people I watch on TikTok who are conservative. They do jokes. And then there's others who are liberals. But on the conservative side, you have that core 30% that are hard Trumpers that believe no matter what happens, you know. And then you have the other ones who are like, yeah, yeah, we're with you. And now, but after this long, they're like, okay, look, we lost that election. And now they're turning on those who are like, who aren't staying hardcore.
Right.
So I didn't know you were liberal. So that's what happens when you have like class warfare, right?
Yeah,
when
exactly. You
have like we're all supposed to be the same.
Yep.
And it's just like, well, yeah, but no, but I'm better than you. And then I'm better than you. Eating each other. It's an Ouroboros.
Yeah.
Same thing happens on the liberal side.
You
have Antifa saying like, everything's racist. And you have other liberals who are like, not everything's fucking racist. You're not a real liberal. And then they try to fucking, they threaten you. And like, yeah, both sides have been.
Oh, I know. Like I said, it's the far. It's the fringe on the left and the fringe on the right. They're fucking everything up. So.
Yeah, they're just very loud.
Now, you know what? It's up to us. It's up to us to fuck up somebody else's life by giving some unsolicited advice. Would you like to get into our question this week?
Yeah, I thought we just did.
I know. Yeah, this whole program has been like, what? Yeah,
now, Merry Christmas. Any opinion that we're talking about, all the stuff we just talked about, we're just stating what's happening. We're not giving our opinion, saying like this, yeah, this is the right thing. This is the wrong thing.
No,
just,
and if you're coming, what's happening. If you're coming to the Roman podcast for your news, oh boy,
many usual. Yeah, there's lots of people who are doing that, and people who are completely unbiased.
Yes,
you know, I mean, like, you don't have to go to the big news stations.
No,
there are plenty of independent people online doing their own independent reporting.
Yeah,
so
us. So here we go.
We're morons.
Yeah, we're morons. Yeah, unsolicited advice. Are you ready? Now that we just admitted our moronic abilities, we're going to continue here by giving somebody some advice. My fiance was caught by me watching teen porn on 4chan, Tar, etc., like all these places. Mind you, these were 16 and 17-year-old, fully developed, self-made videos. Okay, very illegal, right, so far. Here in Canada, anyway. I told him there were measures that needed to be taken in order to keep me. These measures included installation of an incognito app on his phone that blocks all private browsing. I have access to his phone 24/7. I have his activity log tagged to my phone so I can see all his searches on the web. However, he keeps finding crafty ways to view porn. Like today, I caught him searching Anita or Henta. What's that? It's that cartoon.
Hentai.
Stuff? Hentai, yes.
Hentai.
Hentai on Facebook. This is the fourth time he's lied to me about about still viewing
Japanese cartoon porn.
Yes, exactly. My question is, should I loosen up my restrictions on porn? Am I being toxic and overdramatic? Should I leave? I don't know what to do. I have a constant anxiety every time I leave the house that he is viewing porn. Well, anxiety no more.
Well, okay, before we get to this.
He is viewing porn when you leave. Oh, yeah, our good friend, sorry, Chris. Chris Logan just popped in here. He got his Christmas card. You're very welcome, sir. Our pleasure. He's been getting them right from the beginning. So, okay, back to the question. Guy's been viewing porn a lot. She has now complete control. She is the puppet master, right? That is, I again... you have to work out whether it's a yay or nay. You can't have absolute, like, can you imagine being with somebody and knowing you have to be notified of the searches?
Here is she's acting more like a mom.
Right.
Who found her kid, you know, who found the swelled up dirty magazines in the forest.
Right.
And is trying to control him to make sure he doesn't grow up to be a deviant.
Right.
Right. Now she's trying to control her boyfriend / husband, whatever he is.
Fiance.
What's that? Fiance. Because she has a problem with the subject matter.
Right. Well, yeah, right. The subject matter is bad, but she's painting it like, I'm assuming it's all, obviously, yeah. If he's looking at young girls, no, that's, you're fucked. No, that's fucking illegal.
Okay, let's put that aside. Let's assume it's not young girls like 16,
yeah.
17.
It's like 30-year-olds wearing pigtails and a schoolgirl outfit. It's like, yeah, no, this isn't. Yeah, this
it's still, yeah, it's still porn.
Yes.
The problem is that she has a problem with porn.
Right.
Right. And so she's like, am I being too toxic? Am I? Yeah. Because everything you're doing, he's just going to find another way. She's like, should I leave? Well, if you make it a condition, but I mean, there's two ways to go about it. You can figure out what he's looking for, because a lot of times when guys are looking at porn, they're not looking at porn going, oh my God, I love this girl. I want to have sex with this girl. It's not what it's about. It's about fulfilling a fantasy. Sometimes the stuff you watch online, you know this as you get older. I remember one of the guys on my football team said, you know, and he was looking at, he's like, do you have any old lady porn? When my buddy was selling DVDs out of his trunk, there, porn.
Back in the day when it was a
look,
thing.
Yeah, this was going back 20 years or whatever. And we just looked at him and we went, what? He goes, hey, man. He goes, I'm heading towards 40. He goes, after you've searched everything on the internet, eventually your tastes get weirder and weirder and weirder to get you off. And you're just kind of like, oh, God, please don't let me be there. So it could be the stuff that he's watching is really not stuff that is like his go-to thing.
Right.
So taboo that it stimulates him in a different way and it gets him off or whatever. Like,
yeah. It could be just functioning. It could be literally porn could be the shaving cream to get the shave done. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a function of, I have to empty my balls and I got to continue on. Like, it's starting to get a point where it's annoying right now. So maybe it's that's his thing. But again, it just, I can't I imagine.
Wrong. He's wrong for keep trying to do this.
Yes, hiding. Yeah, he's being untrusting.
Against what her wishes, but she's gone too much extreme. Like, I stop him from this, private browsing. I'm watching it. No.
But
that's a grown man you're talking to, and that's a grown man you're doing that to. So
I couldn't imagine doing that to my wife. Be like, oh, I have to see everything you're going. Like, I, to this day, she tells me, like, refuse to open. If there's mail and has her name on it, I do not open it. She's like, yeah, but that's a credit card bill for my Christmas shopping. Go ahead, open it. Go pay the credit. Like, go pay the. And like, I can't. Your name's on it. It's not. It doesn't say me and you. It says you. It's not my fucking business. Like, if you want to show it to me, that's whatever. But I'm so. And again, I didn't get married till I was like 40. So there's probably a reason for that. Mostly on my part. So I can't get to her state of mind, right? Because it would be, I don't know, I wouldn't care if it's like, well, how jealous you gotta be? Like, it just sounds, a lot of these questions we've had in the last month or two have been younger, these younger insecurities that for people in our age, it's way easier to say, listen, when you get there, it's just not going to matter. You're going to be totally cool with it. You're going to be totally cool with, yeah, you're going to realize, yeah, your current partner has had previous partners. You're going to be cool with, yeah, maybe your wife wants to go out to the strippers or something. My wife doesn't make a habit of it, but let's say that I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, you might, like, there's just things that would trigger you as a 20-year-old that don't give a shit once you're 40. And it's not because you've been with them for so long. It's just you mature to the point where it's like, no, it's not the be all and end all. So overall, my advice to her is, yeah, if he's lying to you, you know, it's not working. You're being overbearing and he's finding a way to lie. So I think it's just not working. You know, I mean, what your final thoughts on?
You got to let go of the reins. You're holding on too tight there. And that stallion is just going to freaking run off because he's going to feel like he's being slowly throttled, you know, and slowly choked to death.
Right.
And he's going to be like, I got to get away from her, man. She's crazy. She won't let me do anything. So even though he's in the wrong of like, she's asked him not to.
Right.
And he's agreed. And then he goes behind her back and does it. Right. So right. That's not right. But her putting all these steps in the way. No, that's not a healthy adult relationship.
No, exactly. It's just garbage. Real quick, our good buddy, Chris, I've known him for years. We went to grade school together and he was laughing. He just popped in because we're doing a rare Saturday night live. Normally we do Saturday night live. Normally we do it Monday at around 5 while everybody's eating supper. So we do this live streaming just because it's a few extra clicks for us. We don't do it for the razzle dazzle of the week. We have a YouTube channel. We don't promote it. Nobody watches the fucking thing. We don't give a shit. Anyway, so this is a rare time where people are going, holy fuck, it's Roman and Rob. They're on my little phone TV. So anyway, Chris is saying, it's weird hearing us in normal speed because he listens to his podcast at twice the speed so he can get through twice as many.
That's because of the man who's always on the go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he wants to catch up and we appreciate it. If you're like, you can listen to us at warp speed, but we appreciate it. So he's like, two things that threw him off. He's listening to us at normal rate because we are live. We can't speed us up because we're live. You can't
speed us up. You go like, So this is what we're going to do.
We can't because we haven't said it yet. He couldn't have finished this episode 15 minutes ago because we are live. Anyway.
I'm just saying I'm going to do it live.
Oh, right. Yeah. I talk fast enough as it is. And number two, he has to laugh because of my old principal story with Mr. Gray. He laughed because he's listening to a podcast that, and he's in Toronto, so this guy he knew from grade school, and I bring up his principal and talk about Winmer when I littered his lawn with his opponent's city election. So anyway, it's just one of those, it's very surreal. We get that a few times. I remember somebody reached out from Chelmsford, Dylan Miles, we're friends on Facebook now. He's like, I put out a teaser clip and I had the Chelmsford city sign. He's like, I'm listening to your show and you're talking about where I'm... He's sitting in jail. He's sitting in that town. He's like, this is very weird. Anyway, so we've gone on way long, but it is a Saturday night. So we're kind of screwing around here. We're going to try to, because you're on vacation, we're going to see what we can do about squeezing in an episode for the following week. We'll find time to record it. But the week after, remember, is our 1 week off where you're not going to get anything live, whether for me with somebody else or Roman or the two of us. It's going to be the clip show, and it's the greatest clip show because we've been bringing this to you every year. The teaser clips we put out every week, I throw them together. It's actually more work than actually recording this weekly. Yeah. But so I can't really call it a week off, but it's something I can prepare, I can market, schedule it to publish in the middle of that week between Christmas and New Year's, and then Roman and I regroup in the New Year's after we've had our little Christmas
vacation. I usually go a couple extra weeks, and usually you try to grab a host or somebody in during the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just one of those, you know, hey, this is the season. We pride ourselves on putting out something every week, but you know, and with the clip show coming up, it's one of those, hey, if you want to introduce somebody to the show, point them to those episodes. You can find them. They're in the end of December during Christmas time every year. And it's quick and it's censored. The content is still mature, but you won't, all the F words and the C words and all the other words are bleeped. So,
yeah, and we're, like we said, we try not to do political content, but in the last little while, that's all we've been doing.
Yes.
And that's because it's COVID. We're trapped in our places. There's nothing else going on. There's nothing happening.
Yes, exactly.
So other than a few small things of people passing away or people going through stuff, you know, that's the really the big news. So fortunately, we're kind of stuck sometimes having to talk about it. But
yep. You know. So, but hey, this is just the ramblings. Basically, it's your hanging out with Roman and Rob once a week, and we appreciate it. And we're appreciating all our holiday cards are reaching everybody now, and we're seeing them online all over the place. And it's just something we like to do. And in the world of e-cards and e-vites, and especially now with Zoom parties and everything else, it's nice to have a little physical something. Mm-hmm. Giggity. in the mail from Roman and Rob. So speaking of that, let's get to the housekeeping really, really fast this week. The show at Roman Podcast, Twitter and Instagram. Myself at Robert MM Cast on Twitter and Instagram. Roman, he is the Roman LeBeau on Twitter and Instagram. Networks are on EMC Podcast Network, Tangible Network, endorsed by Emotionally 14. Check all those places out for awesome podcast content. RomanPodcast.com for all your Roman Podcast merch. Tasty nudes, send them to Roman. Tasteful nudes, send them to me. The email account is RomanPodcast@gmail.com. What's last? Review reach round? No. Yeah.
Networks.
Yeah, I said those.
Yeah, and then
Tasty Nudes.
Tasty Nudes, our endorsements, and then we have
so Review Reach Around, Apple Podcasts.
Merch.
RomanPodcast.com. I said it. See, I'm already doing twice the speed.
I don't listen when you talk.
This is going to sound so fast when Chris listens back, and it's like, if I'm talking, this would be like warp speed. So here we go. Review Reach Around. If you want to give Roman or Rob a Review Reach Around, go to Apple Podcasts and give us a star rating or review, and we call that the Review Reach Around.
That's right. That's a 5-star. This is the state of my state stated Reach Around.
So until next week, I'm Rob Cast.
And I'm your host, Roman LeBeau.
And we'll see you next time. Later.
Hi, this is Mark. Congratulations. You have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangible Network? That's right. Go check out tangiblenetwork.com. You can look them up and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains, you can do it. You can do it. Check it out, tangiblenetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time.